By the time they reached the Baron's residence, there was a firefight going on in the street in front of the building. The crossfire looked as if it involved three different parties, none of them able to get the upper hand.
Looks like some sort of standoff.
Everyone's dug in. No one's moving.
What do you say we do?
We either try to slip by or we join the fight.
Christy looked up as she checked the ammo in her Smith & Wesson.
This isn't our fight.
Azaxir shook his head.
Nor mine. I am happy to let them destroy themselves, just as their ancestors did before the world moved on.
A blaster round whistled over their heads and slammed into the building behind them, sending bits of rock and brick into the air. JB shook the dust from his hat.
Which still leaves us with the question of how best to get by them.
I think we should hide in plain sight. Join the fight, blend in, and slip right on through.
Sounds like a plan.
All right then, let's move.
At that moment, the sound of automatic blaster fire opened up from two positions at the top of the Baron's residence.
Get down!
The friends all got close to the ground as hot lead rained down on them like hailstones.
Got a new plan?
You want to take out those positions?
Not really.
Then the plan's the same. Only it's going to take us longer to make it work.
I just hope dear Jack has the time to spare.
JB looked to Doc as if he were about to tell the old man to shut up, but then he just swallowed.
We all do, Doc. We all do.
Azaxir unbuttoned his satchel and began taking the tiny containers of antibodies out of its pockets and distributing them among the rest of the friends.
Just in case I am shot before I reach the wall.
Ryan nodded, stuffing a couple of the containers into the inside pockets of his coat.
We'll be moving in a few minutes. Azaxir, you still have most of the medicine, right?
The mutie nodded.
I can hand out more.
No, you go first. You'll have the best chance of making it. We owe you that much. You've done us a big favor.
Azaxir nodded in reluctant agreement.
JB next, then Doc and Christy.
None of the friends argued the order, knowing Ryan had his reasons, even if they couldn't figure out what they were. The blaster fire had come from the top of the building. Everyone on their side of the street dove for cover, and the shooters on the rooftop had free rein on the entire street below. If anything moved, it would be chilled. It was amazing how the situation had changed in such a short time. When they'd arrived at the firefight, the danger had been from the crossfire coming from across the street. Now, that blaster fire had become negligible in light of the new threat from above. But while the threat was different, the difficulty was basically the same, perhaps now even worse. There was a short, empty space between their current position and the base of the wall. If they could move through the emptiness in the middle, there were plenty of places to find cover at the wall, and the entire climb over the top could be done under some sort of cover. In addition to that, any shooter would be wasting ammo on anyone trying to get out over the wall, so just reaching the wall was the big obstacle.
Azaxir, you ready?
I am.
On the count of three, Christy, JB, and me...
And I?
Christy, JB, and I will put up cover fire against the positions on the roof. Doc will lay down a bit of cover on the street, just in case they figure out we're not shooting at them. Azaxir, when you get to the other side, you give the medicine to the fastest runner in your family.
There was silence among them for several moments, followed by nods.
One, two,
Azaxir started for the wall.
Three!
Three of the friends unleashed a volley of blaster fire against the rooftop shooters. But instead of having their fire fly harmlessly over the building, they did their best to catch the concrete and metal flashing, capping the roof. At least that would suggest to whoever was up there that putting their head over the edge of the rooftop was a bad idea. A few of the citizens who'd gotten caught up in the firefight took advantage of the cover fire and began running south. One was caught by a round from Doc's Lama and knocked off his feet. The other two kept running, making it out of the immediate danger zone alive. Their escape prompted Ryan to check on Azaxir's progress. He'd reached the wall in one piece. There were two members of his family there to receive him. Together, they helped him climb the wall. Ryan felt a bit of relief wash over him. Jack would be receiving the medicine he needed in short order. That part of their mission had been a success. Now, they had to save their own hides. Viviani set up his forces just inside a pair of storefronts about a block down the street from the Baron's residence. The storefronts were on opposite sides of the street, and the broken front windows of each provided perfect cover from anyone running from the fight.
Be on the lookout. Everybody coming down the street is to be terminated. We'll wait for them, and if they don't show, we'll move up toward the Baron's residence.
Just then, as if on cue, two people came running in their direction. They were covered in dust, and one of them had been hit by blaster fire on the shoulder. They didn't seem to be sick men, In fact, one of them looked to be an old woman. Viviani hadn't expected refugees from the fight, only Sekhmet and rebels.
Let them go!
But you just told us to chill anyway.
I know what I said! Let them go! They're just running for their lives. What will we have in this ville if there's no one left to make it work?
The Sekh man lowered his weapon, considering the Sekh chief's wisdom. And then, two shots burst from the storefront across the street, cutting down the two citizens as they ran. Viviani sighed, realizing it was futile to try to spare the innocent.
All right, then. Chill them all.
You ready, JB?
Give me the count.
Everyone loaded?
Check.
Affirmative.
All right, then. One, two, three.
JB was gone. The friends fired again, but this time with only two blasters on the rooftop positions. The rest of the firefight continued unabated, the other forces using the cover fire to try and hit their enemies across the street. The crackle of blaster fire was deafening. Ryan checked on JB and was happy to see that his wiry frame was covering the distance to the wall in even less time than his Axir had.
That's good.
Ryan waved a hand, silencing the friend's blasters.
Two down, three to go.
But with each one we send over the wall, there's one less blaster to provide cover fire. I'm afraid your plan will leave you in a rather difficult position, Ryan.
Ryan replaced the clip on his Sig Sauer.
We've been in worse positions.
Yes, but not many.
You're next, Doc.
It has been several hundred years since I ran sprints for Oxford, but I shall run as best I am able.
Oh, you'll run like the wind, Doc.
Thank you, Miss Roth. But I imagine like a schoolboy will be a more apt description.
Just get ready, Doc.
The mass exodus of Sekhmet and rebels never materialized. After chilling two civilians, Viviani and his men had done nothing but wait. After a while, Viviani began to fear that there was some sort of escape route through a building or down some alley between his position and the Baron's residence.
Let's move out! We'll head toward the Baron's residence and box the bastards in!
The Sekhmet left the storefront and began moving up the block. Doc was preparing for his dash to the wall when blaster fire erupted behind them. Several rounds zipped past Doc's head, forcing him to jump back and crouch for cover. All at once, several of the Sekhmet who had been pinned down by the fire coming from atop the Baroness's residence turned and began firing at the new threat behind them. And then the shooters on the roof began to pick off these Sekhmet like fish in a barrel.
Damn it!
Ryan had his back pressed hard against an old garbage can and his knees bent to keep his body close to the ground. Hot lead was chipping away at the concrete pole to his left, and every once in a while a round would hit the trash can he was positioned behind. Christy was a few yards away, tucked inside the entrance to a building.
What now?
Ryan didn't have a plan. They were pinned down on two sides, and any attempt to fire in one direction would leave them exposed to fire from the other.
I'm open to suggestions.
I suggest that it is rather ironic that out of our entire group, Jack currently has the best chance of seeing the dawning of the morning sun.
Suggestions that might help us get out of here, Doc.
Doc was silent. The bullets continued to zip and zing all around them. Mildred paced back and forth in the small room, listening to Jack's labored breathing and wondering what sort of difficulties the friends had encountered that would make them take so long. Jack had been strong, and even now she could sense that he was fighting the urge to scream and thrash about. The drug had given his mind and body the equivalent of several hard kicks from a steel-toed boot, but Jack refused to allow it to push him down. But even he had his limits, and if the medicine didn't arrive soon, Mildred was worried that Jack might suffer serious harm. Just then, Mildred heard noises coming from the upper floors. There was obviously some great commotion going on up there, and Mildred responded by raising her target pistol and aiming it at the room's lone doorway. If the Baroness's men were storming Azexir's home, they wouldn't be taking Mildred or her patient without a fight. A figure appeared in the doorway.
Don't shoot!
It was one of Azexir's children, out of breath and struggling to speak.
I have the medicine for your friend.
Are the others here?
No. My father got out of the ville first, and he gave the medicine to me. I ran all the way here.
Mildred took the antibodies from her and opened up the containers. She was glad to see they were in liquid form and would be absorbed into Jack's system more quickly through his bloodstream than internally through his stomach. She had a sterile syringe in her med kit, so injecting the antibodies wouldn't be a problem, but how much should she give him? Too little, and Jack might not recover or suffer more than he had to. Too much, and she might kill him. And how could she even be sure these antibodies were safe? After all, the nearest analytical laboratory was 100 years and a nuke cost away. The truth was, she couldn't be sure. She would have to trust that Azaxir was a man of his word, that Baron Demann made antibodies as well as he made Jolten dream, and above all, she had to trust her instincts. But even if her instincts told her it was too risky to give Jack the antibodies, in the end, she'd probably have to give them to him anyway, because Jack didn't really have a choice. If he didn't take them, he'd likely go mad. The antibodies would at least give him a chance. Mildred took the syringe from her bag and decided to start slowly, drawing just 10 units into the syringe. Then she found a vein in the pale white skin of his left arm and injected the antibodies. She would monitor his vital signs closely over the next hour, and if he was showing any signs of improving, or less intense fits of terror, even longer stretches between each one, then she'd give him another dose. But for now, she watched and waited.